Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Amogela melaetsa ya thero, tutloetso le kgothatso ya letsatsi lengwe le lengwe mo Facebook pageng ya rona. Nna leloko la Facebook page ya Radio Pulpit gompieno.
Very good afternoon to you and a warm welcome. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of Heart to Heart. And absolutely thrilled to be spending yet another afternoon with you. Slap bang, middle of the week it is. And so we started off with WordFest. But before we get into WordFest with Pastor Moyo, please note that we will no longer be live streaming our programs on Facebook. So if you're used to watching us on Facebook, please try and migrate to YouTube. So you can still enjoy watching us, on YouTube. Simply subscribe to our Radio Pulpit YouTube channel. So go to YouTube, look for Radio Pulpit and subscribe and stay connected for encouragement, inspiration and the good news. Visit our website or go directly to our YouTube page and hit subscribe today. Listeners will, of course, also still be able to tune in on radiopulpit.co.za, our app DSTV 882, OpenView 604 and 657 AM. So nothing changes there. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. So like I said, we will no longer be live on Facebook. I know it's easier that way. We're always on our phones. We're always on YouTube. But unfortunately, there's stricter rules with regard to such platforms. So let's go over, head out to YouTube and normalize being active on YouTube. For this,
amen.
How are you doing?
I'm good. And how are you, Sis Luke?
I'm good, thank you. How many times do you visit YouTube?
Well, almost. I mean, YouTube is the modern day social platform.
See?
You see? We get everything there.
So I'm encouraging our listeners then to head over to YouTube. Just know, every time on Wednesday we go on, just hop over to YouTube.
Amen.
You don't want to miss out on WordFest.
Amen.
So welcome back, Mfundisi.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Woensdag.
Thank you so much, Sis Luko. And last week when I came back from my leave.
Yes.
We forgot to congratulate you.
Oh.
You were the best
afternoon drive presenter.
Yes, best afternoon drive presenter in all the radio stations in South Africa.
Community radio stations.
Radio stations.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I've forgotten about that.
Yo.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I mean, it takes good content for people to recognize you that far.
Yeah. True. I think I actually mentioned this when I did the thank you speech, and I was so ill prepared. I don't know whether it's lack of faith or what, but I didn't see myself even winning the award. I wasn't. In fact, I made every excuse not to pitch on the day. But this kid was like, nope, you're going. I said, no, I don't have anybody to look after my kids. She said, you're going.
Let me tell you something. That's how our God does things. Unexpectedly.
So I was shaking.
Even blessings come that way.
Yeah.
You pray for something for too long. For quite some time. Until
and then you forget about it.
You forget about it. You're like, you know what? It's fine.
Whatever.
You know, whatever. Mm. But then when it comes, it finds already you don't even have the energy to celebrate. It's like you are dreaming, you know.
I remember Seneca said to me, no, all the other categories are done. I'm just waiting for yours and Pastor Ray's. After that, we go. And they put mine at the end. I mean, afternoon drive is a big deal.
Yeah.
So they put us right at the end.
Wow.
And so I was like, Seneca, just go home. Like, what are we even waiting for? There's nothing here.
Wow.
So I was shaking. But what I was actually saying in the thank you speech, I said, it takes more than just, yes, the category says afternoon drive presenter. So it shines a spotlight on you.
Yes.
And your talent.
Yes.
But what is your talent without good content? For me, it's absolutely nothing.
It's the content.
In order for people to say, she's really great, you must have something tangible.
Yes.
And that for me speaks of everybody else that contributes to the actual program.
Amen.
It's not just about what I get to say behind the mic. So
thank
that
you,
is so
which
true.
Means it involves
yes,
me as well.
Yes, everyone, wow. Exactly.
Where Pastor Moyo is, we are winning.
Exactly.
We are winning. We are winning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's very true. So that's what I was saying. The everybody that comes on air to contribute significantly
yes.
gives it a good
yes.
name.
Yes.
Abos is Enika who makes sure we've got all these things. Abos, those are the people
yes.
that I'm like, listen,
yes.
you guys
yes.
are the heroes.
Yes.
You're the
yes.
team that
yes.
really pushes
yes.
this train.
Yes.
So I'm grateful. Thank you for this.
Actually, the whole team won.
Exactly.
The
exactly.
whole team won.
That's so true.
You see.
That is so
but
true.
But congratulations to you,
thank
Sis
you
Luka.
For this. Appreciate it.
Thank you
so
much. You are good at what you are doing.
Thank you. We take a bow.
We need to give you flowers while you're still alive.
To smell them now.
Yes. We mustn't talk about you when you are gone and say, hey, we once had Sis Luka. Hey, she was so good. No,
hey.
We need to tell you while you are still at it.
Thank you so much.
And may the grace of God and the favor of God continue to shower upon you. And may the good God, cause you to be visible and influential in all the corridors of life.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Sis Luka.
So what do you have for us today, Marudi?
Well, we are going to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
Okay.
And cross-reference it to John chapter 14, verse 21. And then we jump to 23 to 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reading of the word, the book of Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." We jump to John 14:21 says, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I, too, will love him and will show him," in other words, reveal and manifest myself to him. "I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Verse 23, Jesus answered, "If a person really loves me, he'll keep my word. He will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home," in other words, our abode, special dwelling place with him. Verse 24, "Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching. And the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today, I just want to ask to look at this statement very carefully. Paul speaks to the Romans, to the Roman church in Romans 8, verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want us to underline something. You see, the entirety of this scripture, it's so tickling when you say it, especially when you know it.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking about knowing it, I'm talking about at a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But also there is a lot that is being said in this statement, but that is not said.
Okay.
There is a lot mm-hmm. that is being said in this statement by Paul, but which is not said.
Yes.
So that is why you see, on a base level, on a shallow level, I had to cross-reference to John 14 as well, verse 21, 23 to 24,
okay.
on purpose. So that we understand the word, that when we are reading the scriptures, we must not read for the sake of reading, but we must gain revelation and gain the mind of the one who was writing and also grasp the heart of the one who is writing.
Mm.
That when he's speaking to the Romans, when he says, and we know, we need to underline certain keywords here.
Okay.
He says, we know that all things work together. Mm-hmm. So now we need to underline know as for knowledge. We extract know for knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now we need to underline the term love.
Yeah.
For love for God. Say, but what is the love of, I mean, how do we love God? Because now this is not God loving us.
Yes.
We know God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. We know the part of God loving us and what he did for us. You understand? And what he continued to do for us.
Yep.
You know, but now it talks about us loving God. That when we love God, there is a condition to everything working together, provided there is love for God.
Okay.
So in other words, things don't just work together unless there is that loving of God involved in the equation.
All right.
So now Paul talks about the knowledge that all things work together. He says, we know. So in other words, knowledge is light.
Okay.
Remember, knowledge is light. And when light comes, it reveals certain things.
Of course.
It exposes certain things. So in other words, he says, if we know that all things work together for good to them that loves God. So when we come to the part of knowledge, it is very imperative to know God.
Come on.
And to know how he operates, to know his ways, so that lest you are not frustrated during the process of life, you know. So he says, we know. In other words, he's talking about also experience, knowledge in the context of experience. That, you know what, this is not just knowledge in terms of scriptural exegesis, explanation of the scriptures. No, but we know God through experience, that all things work together.
All things
work together for good to them who loves God.
Amen.
So now, it doesn't matter what you are going through in life or what circumstances are challenging you.
Yeah,
but as long as you know God,
things are bound to work together for your good.
Exactly. If you are encountering a situation, there must be a level of light, illumination to see what God is doing through that situation.
Amen.
And to be able also to discern whether this is God or this is an attack from the enemy.
Sure.
So that you don't find yourself casting out God, whereas you are in the Hannah situation. It is God who closed your womb.
Come on.
Because I would want to believe that at some point Hannah was frustrated at her prayers to say, but God, where are you?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I'm attending church services, because the Bible says Hannah year after year, she went to Shiloh. You understand?
Amen.
So she was consistent in what she was doing. But now, the problem with Hannah, she lacked the knowledge of God on what God wants for her. And it was about her, not what God wants for her. You see? So now the knowledge part, I'm passing there because of time as well. Now he says, all things work together for good to them that love God.
All right.
You see now, the love for God, the love that we have for God, it must be a genuine love. It must be a genuine love. It's not a love that only is based on the results of God on us.
All right. Must be unconditional.
You understand? So many a times we think we love God because he's doing things for us.
Until we don't see that
until
move.
There is nothing okay. that happens, he becomes silence for 430 years, like the children of Israel.
Mm.
Then that's where you now question.
Then you
question,
see the confessions changing.
Now you question his presence now. You question
sure.
everything. You question his existence.
Mm.
You question the preachings. You question everything. If all these things, you understand. Because now your love for God was based on supply from God. So many believers, they base their love for God based on what he does for them.
Mm.
And then they say, they qualify it as love for God. They say, I love God. And many a times we mistaken love for those moments of praise and worship, especially when you are in the midst of the environment that has been steered so well, in the church environment, and you feel the presence of God, and all of a sudden, you during that moment, you can convince yourself that I love God.
You rested on the feelings.
You understand. You convince yourself that I love God.
Mm.
And some, the love for God is verbal. When they say, hey, I love God. Now, if you, I've never heard anyone saying, I hate God. I've never heard anyone saying, I hate God. People say,
and
I love God.
Funny enough, even those that blaspheme him
yes.
never say they hate him.
No.
They can deny his existence for
yes.
all they want, but you
yes.
never hear them proclaim their hate for him.
Exactly. But now, let us look at the God view of love.
Mm.
How does God view love?
Okay.
Because God is love.
He is the essence of love.
God is love.
Mm.
So he knows when you are faking it. He knows it when you are pretending.
Because that's himself.
You understand? and he knows when you say you love him only to find out it's lip singing.
Mm.
You love him. I love God. I love Jesus. You know, we
I love him.
You understand? You understand? We sing these songs. We have those feelings at some point, especially when you get that huge breakthrough or something happens. You know, you're like, I just love God. But do we really understand
what it means?
What it means to love God?
Mm.
As he's the recipient of love, looking at us and saying, do you really love me? Now Jesus explains it in John 14. You know, he says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me.
Okay.
So now you understand now how Jesus is putting the love now.
Mm.
How he's explaining the love of God now. That no, you see, it is the one who keeps my commands who loves me.
All right.
So God does not measure your love by you telling him that, God, I love you. You understand? He doesn't measure your love by you being excited emotionally, you know, excited that things are happening in your life. You understand? But God bases his love on what Jesus is saying, that the one who keeps my commands is the one who loves me.
Amen.
You see,
Amen.
That's John 14, verse 21. It goes on and he says, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Verse 23, it goes as follows. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word. If a person really loves me,
they'll keep my word.
In other words, there is a yardstick.
Mm.
There is a dipstick
to show this love.
That you understand. There is a vetting process by God.
I like that one.
You understand?
A vetting process.
There's a vetting process.
And we know how serious
and
thorough those are.
Then God knows you really love him. That's why he says, those who really love me. So it means there are those who just love him, but there are those who really love him.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
He says, those who really love me, they will definitely keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home abode, special dwelling place with him.
Amen.
You see, so there is a barometer that is used by God.
Okay.
To test, that litmus test is there also when God wants to vet your love for him.
All right.
You understand? Mm. He says, okay, fine. If you really say you love me, here is my word. Here are my teachings. Do you abide in them? Do you obey them? So God measures love by obedience.
Come on.
God measures love
by obedience.
By obedience. Mm. So if we are obedient to his word, obedient to the teachings, obedient to the doctrine of the apostles, like the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, the Bible speaks about the church, the early church, that they met daily in the saints' houses. And there they prayed together, breaking bread together. In other words, they fellowshipped together. That's fellowship. That's fellow. It's important in the church. Nowadays, we have lacked that fellowship. We don't really have fellowship.
That's true.
We have attendance.
Okay.
We have attendance more than fellowship. Fellowship is deeper than that.
Yeah.
Fellowship simply means we care for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We share each other's interests. We share each other's celebrations. We share each other's pains as well.
Yeah.
You understand? So now at church, you can go in and go out without knowing that just the neighbor next to you
is going through
a lot, and you don't even see, you don't even care.
That's true.
You see, so during the breaking of the bread, you see what was happening there. As they are seated at the table, as they break bread, conversations will begin to erupt.
Of course.
That's where the oneness, the unity comes in now. That's where the sharing of experiences, sharing of pain, emotions, celebrations comes in.
Mm.
But what I like about it, the Bible says the church continued in the apostles' doctrine. What is that doctrine? Jesus Christ is a doctrine.
Mm.
They were teaching nothing else. That is why Paul says in one place, he gets there, he says, when I came to you, you are very much aware, all of you.
Yeah.
I desired to know nothing about all of you except Christ and only
and
him
crucified.
You understand? So in other words, all I wanted was to see Christ being formed in you. Because I know that Christ, when Christ is formed in a man, he becomes the image of God, the full image, not
Come
by
on.
Saying it
yeah.
scriptural. You know,
yeah.
we have a tendency of
articulating things.
Citing scriptures. Yeah, we are the image of God. We are the righteousness of God. We are the likeness of God. But you don't really understand the deepness, the depth of that to be the image
of God,
the appearance of God. Image is equal to appearance.
Mm.
You understand? The image of God and the likeness of God. In other words, what God does, what God can do, which means you have got the capacity to also do it.
Amen.
That's why Jesus, in everything, you wouldn't separate Jesus and the Father.
Mm.
Everywhere you say, what I see the Father doing is what I do.
Come on.
What you hear me speaking, it's exactly as downloaded direct from my Father's mouth.
Mm.
That's why he says, all my teachings at the end, he says in verse 24, anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching.
Mm.
And the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me.
Mm.
So in other words,
I'm just a messenger.
And also he highlights the fact that there is a synergy between the Father and the Son.
Mm.
There is that oneness.
Mm.
You can't break that bond. He is the likeness of the Father.
Come on.
He is the likeness of the Father. Mm. There is that oneness.
Mm.
So in other words, you can't separate me
from the Father. Okay.
When you are angry, you can't say Jesus said. And when you are blessed, you can't say, no, God has blessed me.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. You can't separate the two.
Mm.
Like what we always find as well in our gatherings.
True.
When the pastor blesses, they say, yo, God spoke today. God spoke well. But immediately when the pastor delivers the message of rebuke and correction, they say, no, he was emotional.
last time you believed it was God.
You understand?
But now,
So in other words, how is it for you that the same well produces sweet water and bitter water? So you are able to separate, which means you have got a selective hearing.
Yeah.
It's not about the fact. So Jesus, he comes in and he corrects that to say, that oneness between me and the Father, never separate my speech from my Father.
You know, as you're speaking, Punis, you remind me, somebody once said, we have this tendency of wanting to, not even for context, wanting to separate Jesus from God. No, that was Jesus. No, that was God. No, it's the same person.
Exactly.
It's the same person.
Exactly. So it's the same thing now where Jesus now is trying to say, please, whatever I just said, my teachings, they come from the Father. Never separate this and say, this is from the Son of God.
Mm.
This is from God. Because when they want to suit their desires, they say,
that was the Son
that
speaking.
That was Son speaking. That was the Son speaking.
Yeah, so we can.
God loves me.
Ooh.
You understand?
Sure.
So now I'm going back
so
to the love of God.
Diminishing the impact of the Father.
You understand? Exactly.
Because it was just the Son.
Because now it's the Son speaking. Mm. You want to separate the Son from
the
Father.
Father.
But at the same time, you are talking about the love of God.
Yeah.
Then which means you do not understand the scriptures. That is why, Sis Luko, I value teaching in ministries more than anything else.
Yeah.
Preachings are good. Evangelism is good. It brings people to the church. In fact, an evangelist can also be an all-rounder at some point, you understand. But allow teachers to come into ministries.
True.
We can't be excited from January to December shouting, I receive. When are we seated down? Because Jesus' ministry also entails the congregation to sit down. The Bible will clearly state that he set them down and he taught them, saying.
Yeah.
You see.
Amen.
So that's why now we need to teach people that this scripture, even if you cite it, you can be emotionally excited and all that, but you wonder the results are not favoring what the scriptures is saying. Because the scripture in Romans 8:28, when you cite it, it's very exciting. I mean, all things work together.
All.
Yeah. I mean, all.
Yeah.
You understand? You are going through a situation, you are quick to say, all things work together.
And isn't that what we truly desire for? All things work for our good.
Mm. Even if I'm going through this, God is in it. It's true. All things work together.
But for who?
You understand? You understand?
That's
but
the part we're
what
missing.
Is the condition for things working together?
Sure.
There is a condition there. So that's why we need to extrapolate and underline key words there. That you need to have knowledge on how God operates.
Yeah.
You need to have knowledge on who God is. That's why the Bible says, those who know their God, they shall do great exploits. You see.
Yeah.
So it's easy to cite it rushingly, excitedly so, under pressure or fueled by whatever you want to achieve.
And we're not denying it. It's scripture. It's there. We get it.
But the scripture has got its own spiritual laws behind.
You see,
it has got its own, because it says all things work together provided. You understand?
There's a condition.
There is a condition.
Yeah.
All things work together, you understand, for good, but to who?
For those
who
love
him. God. Now we explain the love of God, how God views love. For things to work together for you, obey God's word.
Come on.
Obey God's teachings. Never separate the sent and from God. And say no today, because the sent, the one who was sent by God, Jesus, you might have missed it here and there.
Yeah.
You want to correct it. You want to suit your narrative. And then you separate the God. You separate God from the one who is sent. That's why Jesus says, please, provided you make sure that when you obey, you also understand that whatever teachings I'm giving you right now, they are not coming from me. They are coming direct from God.
From God.
So you never separate God from the one who is sent by God.
Amen.
You see?
Yeah.
Now coming to the issue of calling, because there are things that we need to highlight. After that, there is a comma for a reason.
Okay.
There is a comma for a reason.
Mm.
You see? Now, the Bible says to them.
Voila.
Who are called
according
to his purpose. So there is calling and purpose. So for things to work together, it doesn't end on loving God and being obedient to the word.
You need to be called.
But you need to observe your calling. You must be called. And after being called, I always say to people, there is a difference. There is a fine line between calling and purpose.
Okay.
Yes, there is a fine line between calling
and
purpose.
Okay.
When he selected these disciples, the Bible says he called them unto himself. And then from there he deployed them. That's a purpose.
All right.
He sent them. That's a purpose. When he called them unto himself. And then from there he then commissioned them. That's the purpose now. The commission part, that's where you have your KPAs and you understand your KPIs. Which means now you live for your purpose. You go beyond calling.
Your first call.
You see.
Then you fulfill the purpose.
You understand?
Amen.
Now, the calling it's a bit difficult if you are called and you don't know your purpose, why you are called.
Yeah.
That's why the calling can be so frustrating. Many people who are called, and when I'm talking about calling, Sis Luke, I'm not talking about holding a mic on the pulpit. When we are talking about calling, we don't only confine it to fivefold ministry.
Front line.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because when we talk about calling, people are quick to close their ears and they say, no, okay, it's fivefold ministry is talking about him and his colleagues. No, you can be a business person. You are called to business.
Come on.
Business is a calling because you need to support poor families. Mm. You need to support destitutes. You need to support ministries. So God does not just make you a billionaire so that you can flaunt. No. He makes you a billionaire for a purpose.
For the glory of God.
You understand?
You remember one of your messages last year, was it last year or this year? You mentioned, Uguti, sometimes we don't have, but when we have or when we pray, God is looking at our hearts.
Yes, you pray amiss.
What is it for? You pray amiss, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's looking at your heart and he's thinking, So it means when God has given to you, there is something you need to fulfill. Your heart needs
That's
to be
where
aligned
the purpose comes
to the
in.
Things of God.
You understand?
Mm.
So there is a fine line between purpose and calling.
Mm-hmm.
Calling, you are called to be given the instruction and the purpose.
Yeah.
You see. So if you only have a calling and you haven't realized your purpose, you will be frustrated when you are doing your calling.
Okay. Clear.
That's why we have a lot of people who are called but frustrated, called but they're angry, called but they don't want the calling.
Sure.
You understand? You try to run away from it like Jonah, but it still follows you in the next ship. The next boat that you go in, it follows you there and everyone around you suffers.
Because
you are running away.
Away
from the calling.
Yeah.
And the calling is what has your purpose. Mm. If you sit there to the one who has called you, then you will decipher everything to you to say, this is what I've called you to do. Then the fulfillment part comes in. The purpose comes to fulfill what you have been called for.
Amen.
So in the moment you are called, now when I'm talking about calling, calling comes in different packages and different colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fivefold ministry only who are called. We are called for good works. That's what Paul says.
Amen.
We are all called for good works in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So as a teacher or an educator, you are called because those kids, God entrusts you.
Hey, and labo about called.
We understand. You are called. You need to have people management skills, emotional intelligence. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you, wisdom on how to harness these kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You see.
Them and those in the healthcare. I truly say you need to be called.
Even a nurse.
It's because law is in the wrong place. I
teach that in my church every time, that don't choose a career because you want money. You don't choose. Check where you are called. Everyone is called. Everyone is called in this world. Yeah. As long as you are a child of God, there is a purpose for you.
Yep.
You are called. You see, so some God puts them in strategic positions so that they can hire those who are not easily, those who are difficult to hire.
Yeah.
When I'm saying that, I'm talking about in terms of the selection criteria, the recruitment process. You find out somebody's coming from a university.
Yeah.
They've got a master's degree, they've got a certificate, or they've got a diploma, whatever qualification they have. But you find out whatever they are looking for, the job that they are schooled for, academically qualified for, they can't go in. The doors are closed. They say, we want 3 years experience. Where is this child going to get 3 years experience when she or he is out of university fresh? So God strategically positions somebody there who's going to be compassionate and say, it's fine. Instead of giving him the full salary of somebody who is qualified, who has got this experience, let's say, for example, it's 50,000. He says, we are going to give him 35,000. Let's give them chance and train them. Take them to proper skills development programs within the working environment.
Yeah.
So one has to believe in you. And God strategically positions people in those corners so that you come in as a child of God. You don't have experience. You only have qualifications. One looks at you and he says, please give them a chance. Give her a chance or give him a chance.
Sure.
That 1 year for them from that one person, you are gone in life.
Yeah.
You see, so that person is in that position of authority, not because of salary and benefits. No, because God has seen other people that will come your way, where your influence must play a role to change somebody's life.
Amen.
Where your influence must come in and uplift somebody, or somebody, when they look at you 10 or 15 years' time, they are thankful to have met or collided you in their lifetime. You
Amen.
See? So now, callings comes in different packages. So as long as you are called and you know your purpose, pray to God to reveal your purpose. Then you do it whether you are paid or not.
Yeah.
You enjoy doing it.
True. Because it's your calling.
It's your calling.
Yeah.
You see, we're talking about nurses right now, that if you're only doing it for a salary, you won't be patient. Nursing requires somebody who loves people, who is compassionate. You must have a compassionate heart. You see,
if you are a child who loves taking care of people, but he neslo.
Yes.
He neslo.
Yes. Or a social worker.
You
can't be
one.
Easily bored when people tell you about their issues. And when you are rushing, you want to go for lunch, you want to go home, you have got your own issues. You are putting your own issues
ahead of theirs.
Then you are in the wrong space.
Oh, you're in the wrong profession.
Wrong space.
Try another one. Try you another see? Qualification.
So if you are called and you know your purpose, you throw away. The moment you get into the work environment, your problems, you leave them outside there. Yeah. You attend to people as if you don't have a problem, a single problem in life. That's calling. That's purpose.
Amen.
And you do it with joy. You even go an extra mile to assist people. You see. So now the Bible talks about such that if you are that kind of a person, don't worry. All things will work together for you. It's just a matter of time.
Amen.
You are in the right track. You are like Joseph. Don't complain. When your brothers sell you, don't complain.
Yeah.
When Potiphar's wife lies about you, don't complain. Mm-hmm. When you are thrown into the prison by Potiphar, he doesn't want to investigate the truth, don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
When the two men in the prison forget about you, that you helped them, 2 years later they only remember you,
it's
don't
okay.
complain.
Yeah.
You are still in the path of the righteousness. The
Amen.
Path of the just are ordered by the Lord.
Mm.
You understand? You are still in the right track. Though, yes, I know it might be demanding in flesh because it's painful.
Yeah.
when you go through certain things in life,
true,
and you are looking for solutions, it's as if every door is closing right in front of you.
Yep.
When you're asking for help from people, it's as if they've got deaf ears. They can't hear you. They are nodding heads. They are talking to you, but no one is considering anything.
Yeah.
And they're unbothered. So that you are the Joseph of this
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
You see. But God knows He's doing it on purpose. There is one day. One day is one day, and that day is coming for you.
Amen.
And where all things will work together, then that's where you understand the working together.
Yeah.
To say, oh, no wonder I passed there and there and there and there.
Mm.
So all this was preparing me for this.
Yeah.
Then I'm telling you, you will be the most grateful person in the world to say, now I know who God is.
Now I understand better.
You understand?
Yeah.
In everything, seek understanding.
Mm.
Then you will know how God operates and you know God. So I'm encouraging somebody today to say, don't worry. You are the Joseph of this world.
Come on.
Of this season. Tomorrow you will be reminding your brothers. They won't be able to recognize you.
Sure.
Because the Bible says the brothers of Joseph could not recognize him when he was up there.
But he
could see them. You see?
Yeah.
And now he says, no, don't worry. Everything that was meant for evil, God orchestrated it.
Turned it for my
In
God.
Fact, he says, it is God who sent me here.
Sure. And how many of us can say that?
It is God who sent me here.
Mm. Amen.
It's so amazing the dexterity of and the maturity and the prowess of this young man that at a young age, but he could understand
who
God, that this is God. He saw God in every situation.
Sure.
Because we don't hear anywhere where Joseph was complaining and crying and regretting being a son of Israel or Jacob. You understand?
Yet he went through the worst.
He was like a sheep who is going to a slaughter quietly. Everything, he was quite, no complaining, not saying anything. But at the end of the day, he came out to become the best. He says, God meant it so that today I've become the father even
Amen.
To Pharaoh.
Sure.
And to their children and children's children.
Mm.
So I'm encouraging somebody today that all things will work together for your good.
Yeah.
Please love God. And when we say love God, we don't mean lip-sing about loving God. Don't be charged by church environment, then you think you love God.
Mm-hmm.
Loving God simply means be obedient to His teaching, be obedient to His word and to His voice always. That's loving God.
Amen.
You see, and then from there, you will see everything working together. Then that's where you understand your calling and your purpose.
Amen.
As you articulate your purpose, you will do it freely and happily, with full of joy and peace, knowing that it will work for my good.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what I'm going through. Thank you so much, Sis Loko. May somebody who is listening today, let everything that you are suffering right now work for your good. May God gain glory through what you are going through.
Yeah.
I pray.
Say that again.
May God gain glory through what you are going through.
Sure.
Let it for the glory. Let it be for the glory of God.
God. Sure. Absolutely love it. Finisi.
Thank you.
We have
so
run
much.
Out of time.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're
and
welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you so much, Sis Luko.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM. At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the Broadcasting Code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community. You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.